Today we're going to be getting into the start of the heart of what this Defending the Faith series is all about. So today, last week we talked about apologetics. And apologetics, if you remember, is being able to reason the truth of Scripture, but it is different than the gospel. We use apologetics to bring people to the cross. We reason with them about what sin does in their life. Apologetics brings people to the cross, and that is where we can share the gospel message. And only the gospel message will save someone's soul. Okay? So today, we're going to transition into something that is somewhat misinterpreted by a lot of Christians today. And we're going to be talking about judging. This message is actually something that happened to me back in August. So I was scrolling through Facebook one day, and whenever you scroll through Facebook, you're going to always run across some comments that people make or some posts that people put up that you go, oh my gosh, that is completely and totally wrong. That is horrible. And I ran across one of those posts, and it made me stop and think, man, I've got to engage in this because this is completely and totally absurd. It's not good. It's not right. So we're going to put the post that I seen up there. The post said, church is where people go to find God, and it's a place where they learn to judge. Okay. That right there is not a good thing at all. And as I read that statement, the point the individual was making was church is where Christians go and church is where people learn how to judge others. Okay? Church is where Christians go to learn how to judge others, and they do not do a good job at it. They do not do a good job at it. And I thought, well, part of that is correct, but then there's a part of it that's not. So I rephrased it. Church is where people go to find God, capital G, and it's a place where they learn how to make godly judgments. That is more correct. That is more biblical. We have all heard, as soon as I put that out there, we have all heard people say what? Matthew 7, 1 and 2. It will not be on the screen. Do not judge, and you too will be, or do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. We have all heard those two verses in Sunday school class, at VBS, preached from the pulpit, but what does it mean, and how does it impact my life? If we just take those two verses and stop, we're in trouble. If we just take those two verses and stop, then we're going to be in trouble. Especially, unbelievers love to throw these two verses up into the face of a Christian. Why? Because they don't want you telling them that what they're doing is wrong. They don't want to hear about how sin is dangerous, how sin is wrong. So they will use those two verses to keep us quiet. Let's start out, and we need to look at context, because context is everything when we look at the Scripture. We're going to be in Luke 6, 37 through 42 this morning. And this is Luke's version of the same idea that Jesus is talking about. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher.
Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So here we have Jesus really laying out the foundation of this whole idea of Christians and judging. Okay? There are two lessons that we need to learn from this passage of Scripture today. Two lessons that we want to learn. The first lesson is God is responsible for judging. It is God's job, His alone, to judge and condemn whoever He feels, however He determines. Because He is righteous and He is good. He is holy. God is the only one who will judge. Is a person going to heaven or are they going to hell? Based upon the faith that they have in Jesus Christ through repentance. That is God's job. That is not ours. We should want no part of that. We shouldn't want any part of that. But does Jesus teach us something else in these verses here today? And I think that He does. I think that in verses 40 through 42, Jesus also tells us about another lesson that we need to adhere to as we speak truth into the world. And if we don't, as Christians, if we do not speak truth, who's going to? If we don't speak truth, who's going to do it? No one's going to. And everybody's going to be in chaotic mess. They're not going to know what's right and what's wrong if we are quiet. In verse 40, Jesus is saying to us that no one is going to be above the Savior. We are not greater than our teacher. Jesus is our example. He is our standard. He is the one who is teaching us. And if we are fully mature, we are going to be like Him. Did you catch that? The fully mature Christian will be like Jesus. We will see things in this world through His eyes and not our own. We're going to look different. We're going to sound different. We're going to see things differently. Jesus talks about two men in this parable. One who has a speck of sawdust in his eye and the other one who has a plank. Have you ever had anything in your eye that you could not get out? Yes. It drives me nuts. Something in there that I just cannot get out. So what do? You ask someone close to you, "Hey, could you help me with this? I've got something in my eye that I can't get out." The person that you ask, do they see clearly? Do they see well? Because I don't want anybody poking around in my eye who's not being able to see, right? That's the point Jesus is making here. If you have sin in your life as a Christian, you should not be trying to help someone else until you fix the sin in your own life. Do I see the sin in my life? Do I confess it? Do I ask a brother or sister to help me? Do I repent of it? And if I do those things, then I can help someone else see the sin in their life and help lead them to repentance. That's the second lesson I think Jesus is trying to teach us. Hey, Christian, those that follow after Christ, you are called to make judgments in this world. We can't. We have to make judgments in this world. That's how we help others come to a knowledge of the truth. And if this were not true, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on in this world, would we? We couldn't stand on anything else by calling out sin in this world unless we're making judgments, godly judgments. When we see outright sin happening in front of us in our world today, The injustice and the sin that we see, like abortion, same-sex marriage, rioting and looting, stealing, the murder, fornication, lust, lying, greed, envy, and pride. The modern-day church has been silent. They have been silent, and we have not stood on the truth that we are called to make godly judgments, and we are reaping what we have sown. We are. So how do we fix that problem? How do we defend our faith and fix that? One step at a time. One step at a time. Because we have hamstrung ourselves and been pushed out of the public square where we cannot speak the truth of Scripture. And the truth, the church has suffered dearly for that stance. We've become weak and inactive, and people look at the church in a negative way today, when in fact, quite the opposite is true. Quite the opposite is true. We should be standing on the biblical teachings of righteous judgments. Will we see sin for what it is and call it out? Because that's what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to do that. So let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but a spirit who is from God, and we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And we cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul is speaking to the mature follower of Jesus Christ here. We have to understand that. It's not just for everybody that Paul's making mention here, teaching just everyone. It's the spiritually mature that he is teaching. You have got to make righteous judgments in this world. And that only comes through the Spirit of God living inside you, who is leading you into the Scripture, teaching you daily about what is right and what is wrong. People in the world, they don't understand us. They can't understand us. When someone picks this word up and just starts reading it, it is very difficult for them to understand. Why? Because they can't. Because the Spirit of God is the one who shows us what is in here, what is truth. And they think that we're foolish, when in fact, We're just trying to lead them to the truth of God. That's what we're supposed to do. And Paul says we have got to make judgments on all things in this life. Everything. We have to make those judgments. Even if we upset people. Even if we upset them. I would rather upset someone and cause them to search for answers than to be silent, letting them think that they're right when I absolutely know they are dead wrong. We have to speak the truth in love. We have to. As we begin to finish up here today, if my voice will hold out, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 6. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is, I'm sorry, I couldn't think of a good phrase to use. Paul is finally putting the final nail in the coffin when it comes to righteous judgments made by Christians. This passage of Scripture teaches us that we are called to do that. In this post back in August that I was involved in, as soon as I made the statement that church is where people go to find God, but it is also where they are taught to make godly judgments, oh man, the firestorm hit. Here come the comments from Christians. Do not judge or you will be judged. But as soon as I put this passage up, everything stopped. Because there's no refuting it. There's no way you can refute it. And it's important that we understand that we are called to make these judgments. Paul says, if any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Paul is talking to the church here. If there is a brother, if we have an issue and we can't figure out how to resolve that issue, why in the world would I take it to the ungodly and have them judge on it? We should be bringing it to the people of the church. Help us figure this out. How do we resolve this in a godly way? But there were people in Corinth that were doing this, and Paul's going, I cannot believe I'm hearing this stuff. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge the angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have a dispute about such matters, appoint as judge even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible there is nobody among you wise enough to judge the dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to the law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. Paul's telling the church at Corinth, and he's telling us today, look, Christian, wake up. We have got to start making godly judgments. We have got to start saying that sin is sin. If we don't, oh my Lord, what is wrong with us? We have got to be mature enough to do that, to stand upon the truth of God's word and allow him to move in people's lives. If we're not going to stand up and say those things, how are they ever going to know? The heart of sinful man has always been the same. I want to hide my sin. I want to push it out. And I don't need anyone else telling me what's right and wrong. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, we do. There have been times in my life that I have struggled with sin. And what should my response be? Number one, come to the Lord. Number two, I need to ask a brother or sister for help. Help pray with me. Help me with this. Help me carry it. Repent. Repent of it. And walk away. But if I don't see that in my life, and I don't have someone else seeing it in my life and calling me out on it, what's my response? Everything must be okay. When it's really not. The world's going to hate us for it. The world will hate you for it. But what are we going to do? We're going to keep quiet. Or are we going to stand upon the truth of God's word with the authority of God's word and love people and make those godly judgments? We are not superior to anyone. Does it make us superior to anyone? It makes us loving other people just like God loved us. We have to do it in love. We have to do it in love. We have to be bold in our love and proclaim those righteous judgments that God has called us to make. Next week, we're going to be talking about the lack of spiritual discipline and consumer-driven Christianity. That'll be a fun one. So I hope you guys can come back next week for that. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Father, for your love and your mercy. And I pray, Father, that we take what we have heard here today and understand that we are not the ones that are judging people, but we are making judgments. And those judgments are righteous when they're held against your word. Father, help us to do this in love and in grace. And I pray, Father, that we would see a harvest that is coming this year. Father, we love you and we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.